man, here we go again. Up early, feed the dog, out the door, traffic, at the office, boss in some kind of mood today, no time for lunch, annoying coworker, no time to relax, bedtime. Then we gotta do it all again? No way. Because the best way to break up the mundane every day is to play at Wild Rose Casino and Resort. Slots, tables, sports, and a whole lot of perks when you join and play with your club wild card. So, let's play Wild Rose Casino and Resort, Clinton.
It's 9 o'clock. HawkFanatic.com. Brought to you by Dr. Lance Forbes. Diamond Dental, Cedar Rapids. Streets Maintenance. The Oxyoke Inn in the Amanas. Premier Automotive in North Liberty. Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, 101 South Dubuque Street, downtown Iowa City. The Midtown Family Restaurants. Supa's Flowers, home of 1-800-800-ROSE. GT Carr and his crew at Supa's Building and Remodeling. Tavern Blue on the Coralville Strip. Mike's E-Keys for Cars. Steve Anderson, Hawkeye Title and Settlement, and Patrick Eads and his staff at Deary Brothers Ford on Mormon Trek. Here's Tom Suter and Pat Hardy from HawkFanatic.com.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate that heartfelt intro. Heartfelt.
Lots of news this morning.
Yeah. This morning sucks.
Well, good morning, sunshine.
It's been crap since the moment I woke up.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Hopefully this show will get things started on the upward trend for
like
you.
It always does.
Let's not overdo things.
Okay, then maybe this call from Karen will perk things up for you.
Hello.
I don't know how much I'll perk it up, but I saw... the softball team had a doubleheader yesterday. They played well, and they still lost the doubleheader. That's an 11-game losing streak.
Yeah, that hurts.
Yeah.
It really does.
I didn't post it. I call me weak, but no one's going to read a story about a doubleheader loss and 11 losses in a row.
Especially to Nebraska, wasn't it?
Yeah, so I just didn't.
And now they're in 13th place.
Yeah,
I don't see how they're going to be up there when they host. And if you have a tournament and the host team isn't in there, the tournament doesn't draw that much for people.
Well, no, what it'll draw will be friends and family of the teams that are in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. And I've seen some of those teams bring quite a few people down.
I mean, yeah, we won't cover it. If Iowa was there, we'd cover some of the games. But without Iowa there, we're not going to cover
it. We'd probably go.
Yeah.
But it's not over yet. I was told, someone said it's the top 12 teams get in. I thought it was 8. Baseball's 8. I mean, that stuff changed.
Well, I know before for the women's, the top 12 teams.
So they still got a chance.
They got a chance.
Yeah.
But it's going to get a lot harder when the other four teams from the West Coast softball is going to get way much harder.
I don't know about this weekend, what kind of weather we're going to have, and are we going to get any games in?
It's not going to be good.
Listen to him. He sent me a text message celebrating yesterday the bad weather that's coming this weekend.
I've sent you one every day.
I know. And what do I say? I say I pray, and then we listen to KCJJ for updates. Yeah.
Well, I have to run off to church, and there's too many things to pray about,
right.
Let me tell you. But you guys have a good day.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
I'm curious, what's the weather going to be like in Lincoln, Nebraska this weekend? That's where the baseball team is.
Well, let's see.
We know what it's going to be here. There's a chance it's going to be bad on Saturday and Sunday, right?
Well, I'm busy looking up
Saturday, Sunday softball
standings.
That's too bad they've lost 11 in a row. I feel bad for them. They were so excited, Media Day. I know everybody is on Media Day.
There are 8 teams that are above 500 in the conference. And then the 9th team is 8-9. 10th team is 6-11. 11th team is 5-11. And then Iowa and Maryland are tied at 4-13.
So they got a chance.
They do.
They got to start winning some games,
They
though.
Do. And Michigan State is 3-14.
Okay.
Friday in Lincoln, severe thunderstorms.
That means I'll probably do a doubleheader on Saturday if they can.
Saturday, maybe an isolated thunderstorm. Okay. So it's thunderstorms likely Saturday night.
So Saturday, though, it looks like they could get some games in?
Yeah.
And then what about Sunday?
Sunday, thunderstorms in the morning, scattered thunderstorms in the afternoon.
So it looks like they'll be able to. So Friday could probably be a problem.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so softball is hosting Minnesota this weekend for a key.
What's Minnesota's record?
They are 9-8.
Okay. I mean, they got to win that series.
Yeah, they do. They really do.
They just got to win a game. They got to get a victory again. I mean, it's been so long, I feel bad for them.
I mean, if they can find a way to win the series, would get them pretty a nice little bump up, I think.
Well, if they won, they'd give them 2-6 conference wins if they win 2 out
That's
of 3.
Right.
Let's say they go 2-1. That'd get them 6. That'd get them up there in like that 9th or 10th spot, right?
Well, assuming whatever
and
it does.
We're under the belief that the 12 teams get into the tournament. Someone told me that yesterday.
That's what Karin says.
I should know that stuff, but I don't.
Well, that's...
But I do know roundabouts, and I got screwed again this morning on the roundabout. And Suter had a similar problem.
It sure did.
You may start thinking...
It's not that I don't understand how to do it.
No, roundabouts are simple. I was heading on Scott.
Yeah.
Up the hill towards the Scott and what is American Legion Road roundabout.
Yes.
And there was a city utility truck coming north on... Scott to the roundabout, and he was getting there before me, so I stopped and yielded.
Yeah.
And he was going all the way through, heading towards Hy-Vee, so it took him a little bit of time to maneuver his truck all the way through, but I was there waiting. Sure enough, a lady in an SUV coming west on American Legion, way after me, speeds up so she could kind of like flank this, and just didn't even see me. And that's the problem with roundabouts. She just saw this truck, couldn't care less.
They tried to beat you to it.
Well, she didn't even try. She just did.
Yeah.
She just knew I wasn't going to pull out and cause a wreck, and she was going to follow that truck. And Tom said the exact same thing happened to him yesterday.
Exactly.
That's the problem with these stupid things.
I don't like them.
I hate them.
But you have the same problem with people at stop signs.
You do, but it's not...
It's not that, but with people with stop signs, at least you are stopped and you know what you're going to do.
This lady actually sped up, Tom. I mean, she just, when she saw that utility truck, I don't think she either saw me sitting there or I don't think she cared.
Yeah.
She just didn't care.
She didn't care.
She knew I wasn't going to pull out. I didn't want to get into a wreck.
Yeah. She didn't care.
But that's the problem with roundabouts.
Yeah. She just didn't care.
She doesn't care.
Yeah. Somebody yesterday keyed my car.
Really?
On the back of the trunk.
Where were you parked?
At the hospital.
That sucks. Why would somebody do that?
I don't know.
And if they only did a little bit?
No, just a little bit.
That's weird. I mean, you think if somebody is that sinister and pathetic that they would, you know, do more damage.
Well, you would think, but they didn't.
Well, maybe it got scraped somehow differently. You don't know.
It's on the top.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. All I know is I'm not going to
fix it.
I'm not going to fix it.
I wouldn't either if it's not
because you guys make fun of me.
Well, if it's on the top, why?
Top of the trunk.
Make fun of you for what?
You make fun of me for fixing my car.
I don't do that. He might. I make fun of you for getting excited about weather.
Don't you have like a $500 deductible?
Yeah.
Well, that's...
It's going to be more than that, I'll bet you.
Oh, I'm sure that it is, but you have to pay the $500.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a little tiny...
And is that $500 more important to you than that little...
Scrape.
No, scratch. It's not that at all.
Okay.
It's you making fun of me.
See, but I don't make fun of you for that. I didn't realize you guys make fun of him for stuff like...
No.
Why?
That's not...
Don't make fun of. It's just I make different decisions.
And in doing so... You judge me, and then you snicker. And I consider a snicker making fun of.
Well, it's my favorite candy bar.
I like Snickers. I like frozen
good.
Snickers. But
those
are good. The older you get, well, Lance wants us eating all the frozen Snickers we can. Bite down really hard on them.
He sends them to me in cases in dry ice.
And says, eat them fast.
Yeah.
Aggressive.
And here's a bag of corn nuts.
To wash them down.
Do you know, the first time I was there, and he fixed my teeth. He said, here, I got something for you. And he gave me like a giant-sized bag of corn nuts.
Well, at least you like corn nuts. I hate them.
Oh, I love corn nuts.
I do, too. I love them.
Well, I can't even smell them. They would probably be the worst as far as a salty type. I couldn't think of anything worse.
I like them. I don't like the flavored ones. I just like the original ones.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
Never been a fan of corn nuts.
That's okay.
They have a strong smell to them, too.
They do.
They really
do.
Yeah,
they smell like roasted corn.
It's pungent. It's just gross.
It's roasted corn.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It's gross.
So you don't like corn?
I like corn. I mean, yeah, corn on the cob, corn with a little butter and salt and pepper. Oh, yeah,
Tavern
I love corn.
Blue's got great corn on the cob.
I love corn on the cob.
They give it to you with your burger?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd like that.
Yeah, that's good.
They have good burgers, too.
Yeah, they really do.
I eat a lot of corn on the cob at home.
Yeah.
How do you do it? Do you boil it or do you put it on the grill?
Grill or the oven wrapped in aluminum foil.
Yeah, I grill.
We grill usually. Or boil.
I think they're obviously better in the oven. And what's really good is you grill, put them a little bit in the oven, then take them out, and then put a couple little things of butter inside the aluminum foil.
Yeah.
And they just, ooh, man.
Oh, God.
That's the way to do it. So, all right, on to the Hawks.
No, back to the Hawks.
Back
because we started talking about softball.
Oh, that's right. We did.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have Fran on. He's going to call in around 10. Lots to discuss with him. I can't wait to get his thoughts on NIL right now. As I look at poor Minnesota, man, they lost that point guard like 5 days after he announced he was
returning. Coming back. Yeah.
I mean, and I've read where some teams don't have rosters right now, like maybe have one or two players, walk-ons, whatever. And I'm looking like with Drake, that poor Drake coach, man, he's scrambling to put that route. I just saw they got a guy from Division II, and, you know, he's going to bring some players from his level, but I don't want to be too pessimistic, but you're not going to win at Drake with a bunch of Division II players. You got to.
No.
So, yeah, I'm sure Fran's going to have some things to say. And it'll be nice to get Fran's explanation for why Patrick decided to leave. I mean, because I don't think it's anything big other than he just wants a change, just wants to do something different.
Well, and fair enough.
It said something to me, too, a friend coming on this morning.
What do you mean?
Said he's not going anywhere.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
The way I look at that, though, I mean, I take everything year by year. I mean, yeah, I'm guessing right now Fran's, I mean, if Fran was going to retire, or anything, he would have done it by now. I mean, I don't see.
I would think so.
Yeah.
Now, do I think Fran, could I say with certainty I think Fran will be their coach in 5 years? No, but I wouldn't say that about Kirk.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't say
that. Or I wouldn't say that about Lisa.
You know, but I'm, you know, when I first saw this and there were some comments.
Well, people thought Patrick leaving was Fran leaving.
Yeah.
And I just think there are now. Yeah. If he comes on here,
I didn't buy that at all.
I didn't either. And if he comes on here and announces his retirement, then,
well,
you know, I'm joking. I'm joking. But, but yeah, we'll talk to him about cancer. I read something that was depressing. Is Iowa the only state in the country where cancer is rising?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Why is that? Roundabouts?
No. Well, we're losing doctors. We're losing
nurses. Doctors. Yeah, but what does that have to do with?
But that wouldn't increase cancer.
Yeah, why would that have anything to do with you? It would hurt.
They're not. If it's not being detected, it's not being detected adequately. There aren't enough people to handle it. It could.
I guess.
Yeah, I just wonder if it's something we're doing like with chemicals that other states aren't doing. I'm just wondering.
Huh. Yeah.
But
that's
no,
bizarre.
Because, you know, I would like to, you know, we always like to talk to Fran about what their latest events are for their continued support of cancer awareness and what have you. But no, I just, and it'll be interesting to see what he says about Tony's decision and whatever. There's a lot to talk about, and I want to talk about next year's roster.
And what about Chucky Hepburn? Did you see that?
Last I saw that he was leaning toward Louisville, but I haven't been looking that close.
Not sure where he's going for sure, but evidently, and I've seen this a couple different places, Wisconsin offered him $200,000 to stay put, okay? Louisville and MSU, is that the other one?
MSU meaning Mississippi.
I'm not sure.
Louisville was the only one I saw.
And offered $700,000.
For 1 year.
For Chucky Hepburn.
I mean, I just don't. That's
for Chucky Hepburn. He's not even very good.
He's okay. I mean, he'd look good in Iowa. He'd help Iowa.
But not for $700,000.
No, not for $700,000. No. I mean, but he's pretty good. I mean, I'm sure Fran would love to have Chucky Hepburn, but not for that type of price. He's probably not good enough to play
ridiculous.
In the NBA, but. I mean, Chucky's kind of like Tony Perkins.
Here is Iowa has the second highest cancer incident rate in the
second.
Nation.
I thought it was
its
first.
Second highest incident rate, and is the only state with a rising rate
that's
of
what
cancer.
That's kind of.
Well, yeah,
depressing.
I just wonder why.
Sober.
I mean, if they're not detecting it because there's not enough doctors, I guess that could be a factor.
Early detection and treatment advances,
The registry estimates 6,200 Iowans die from cancer each year.
But if they were detecting
it, no smoking gun.
But if they weren't detecting it, like you're saying, we would have less numbers, wouldn't we? Because it's being unreported.
If it's being detected later, maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
All I know is that Iowa Dispatch and a bunch of others keep track of the doctors that are leaving the state due to politics, basically. The laws that are being passed that we have an enormous amount of vacancies in the 2000s, in the 2,300 nursing openings in the state. We have 2,100 teacher openings.
I was going to say teachers are every bit as bad, almost as bad.
Yeah, so I mean, people are leaving the state. And, you know, the more we, let's face it, you go to college, you get these degrees and everything, you're naturally more liberal. You're not very far right wing, for the most part.
I think if you, it's a bit of a stretch, but yeah.
For the most part. And then, you know, you're not going to, you know, when your services are needed everywhere, you're going to go to the place that suits you, suits your style, suits your politics, suits everything. And right now,
people are not
here.
Flocking to Iowa.
No, they're not.
So. Unless they're very good women's basketball players.
Speaking of that, we had trouble on the website this morning. It was doing the same thing, server error, blah. And I'm like, man, was traffic that? I went and looked, the Lucy Olson thing. And normally when we put a podcast up, it does okay on our dashboard, but most of the people get them through Spotify and Anchor. But we got this one up really quick. Hunter sent it right away to Dallas. That thing was up 15, 20 minutes after I left here. Usually it's a couple hours. But we got that up right away. I looked at it this morning. It's approaching 4,000 page views just on our dashboard. And I'm sure Spotify and Anchor, they all get into. So, yeah, a lot of people listen to that interview. And
they're clicking on it on our.
Yeah, I mean, I was stunned at how many were on our dashboard. And then you got Facebook. But Spotify and Anchor are where those podcasts go to first.
Spotify's a big. I mean, it's the biggest.
I mean, we do better numbers on Anchor.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know anything about it, but that's just, I mean. But usually, though, we don't do very many numbers on our dashboard because people aren't going to Hawk Fanatic site if it's on Anchor first. And usually it gets up on Anchor and Spotify first, but this one we got it up really quick. Plus, it was Lucy Olson, and it just shows you the popularity of Iowa women's basketball right now.
Hello.
I'm almost sorry I called because I want to go back to cancer.
Okay.
Okay.
Question, who was the number one state?
Kentucky.
Okay, I always thought that the older you get, the more likely you are to get cancer at some time, and I'm wondering if Iowa's aging population.
Okay, that's a good point.
That's a very good point.
Yeah. And I'm going to sign off. Bye.
No, thank you. No, I think that's a solid point. Yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll buy it.
Well, we solved that. Now we just got to get those potholes solved.
Yeah,
I just drive around May. You're like,
that's when we do it. We do it every May.
Since what do we have? How many days left in April? I was assuming it was.
We'll call up in May, and we'll have to. They'll do the road, and then.
Those are two separate.
Yeah,
entities.
Doesn't Newsel do our Newsel and Sons?
Yes, and I contacted them, and theoretically they were going to send somebody out to look at it, but they have not done so.
Don't you?
What?
Those are fighting words, aren't they? The name you just said?
No, this is a
different branch.
Oh, different one?
Different branch of the family. I don't know what the hell.
We could actually stage that match in the pothole.
That'd have to be the one on Sycamore.
Yeah, that's true. Speaking of Hawks, the NFL drafts tomorrow. Cooper DeJean. I did realize this, but I had to be reminded. They've never had a defensive back taken first under Kirk and Phil. Bob Sanders was close.
First round, you mean?
Yeah, they haven't had one since Tom Knight.
Wow.
And Bob Sanders was taken second in the second round. So Cooper DeJean tomorrow will do something. I mean, will do something pretty rare. I mean, it looks like he's going to be taken in the first round.
And everything he said he could take Caitlin in a shooting contest.
Who?
Cooper DeJean.
Oh, yeah. did some? Was he on?
It's on Yahoo Sports.
Okay.
Yeah.
He was a good player.
Yes,
I mean,
was.
He was a good basketball player. Now, he probably wasn't Division I, but he could have went somewhere and played
great
college
athlete.
Basketball. Yeah, he was just a great all-around athlete.
Yeah, but I got a kick out of that.
But, yeah.
You know, with all the great D-backs that Phil Parker has sent to the league, only one was a defensive, and that was Norm, right? Tommy Knight?
No, Tommy Knight was 1997. That was Hayden. It was 96 draft, I believe. Or 97 draft, 96 was his senior year. Tommy Knight played for Bobby Elliott.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it wasn't Phil, though.
No, it wasn't Phil. No, Tom Knight played from 93 to 96, and he was picked ninth overall by Arizona. What are you looking up, Captain?
Cooper DeJean's.
Oh.
I saw today where you picked as high as 15th in the first
round. I'm writing. I'm doing something. I'll put something. I don't go crazy over the NFL draft. No. I'm just not. I mean, I hope all the best for Cooper and whoever, and I'll report. But some people just live and breathe it. And I've never been a huge draft of any sport. They just.
If I were more interested in the NFL, maybe I would be more interested in the NFL draft.
I mean, I'm interested. I mean, the Bears could have a good team next year, man. If this Caleb Williams ends up being,
I'm going to hold you to that.
I mean, they may have the best receiver core in football next year.
He told this to CBS Sports. He said, "I think I could win." You don't think I can win? to the guy. She definitely score on me for sure, but I think I could pull it off.
Are we talking about a one-on-one? Or,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. If they were playing one-on-one, I'd pick Cooper DeJean.
If too close, though. She could shoot from anywhere.
Yeah, she could shoot from here, but he's so athletic. He would.
Yeah.
And he's probably her height or a little taller. That's funny, though. He's a good kid. And
yeah. Well, you can tell he's saying it.
Tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah.
He's joking. But, yeah. I mean... He would probably win that one on one.
He'd be a little harder to shoot over than.
And it'd be a little hard. I mean, he could drive the basket and just dunk on her. The guy's incredible leaper, and those athletic skills are part of the reason why he's going to probably make history tomorrow night. And the draft, I believe, is in Detroit.
Yeah.
And I wish him well. I mean, he's within hours of becoming a multimillionaire with generational money. That's how it works, and he's worked hard to get in this position.
Yeah,
and he is he's a good kid. He is very soft spoken, very humble. I wrote about that a couple times. It was hard for him to become a superstar because it just doesn't fit his personality. And then of course the Deacon Hill stuff happened like right after our. Didn't it happen almost right?
Yeah.
I think it happened during the show, but toward the end, I wasn't aware until I got off and not surprised. I mean, I'm guessing he sat down with Lester. They kind of explained where, and I think they probably had a mutual parting of the ways.
We appreciate everything you've done. We're going to have to try to bring somebody in, and you're probably looking at a third or fourth.
What I don't understand is, so then you wish the kid well.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
I wrote about the hate. And
yeah.
Yeah.
It does make I read your.
Yeah, it makes,
I got some text messages from some people that were really surprised at how snarky they were. I mean, it's just.
It's ridiculous.
It's his fault that he was their best option after Cade.
No.
And all this talk about, I don't know if Marco Lane has moved ahead of him. I mean, everyone's just, he's so far behind. We don't know any of that.
No.
They never said that. And as far as, they're going to get a great quarterback in the portal, I mean. They're going to.
Maybe.
Why attack him? When he's moving on, why attack him when he's moving on?
And I will say, they're not going to get a great quarterback. No quarterback that's thriving and having success is coming to Iowa. They're going to get somebody who's looking for an opportunity or a chance because where they are now is not working. Couldn't we agree on that?
Probably, yes.
I mean, who else? I mean, who are you thinking that's?
I was thinking Brendan Sullivan from Northwestern.
But he's terrible.
Not terrible.
Yeah, Tom, I've looked. I've read
68%
Tom,
pass completion.
Northwestern fans are glad he's gone. He's not very good. He's not very good. He's. I've watched him. He's not the answer for Iowa. If that's the guy, there's going to be people that are going to make him sound like Johnny Unitas.
I will that I would take him ahead of Deacon.
Oh, I would maybe do that, but yeah. I'm not.
But I think that's about the best we're going to be able to do.
Well, I would whatever happened to the Ohio State transfer that was going to come here? Is that I read?
Haven't heard anything about that.
But it was all over the place three weeks ago.
2 weeks ago,
yeah. He's going to come to Iowa and he's going to push Cade. And where's that now? Where did that go? I mean, I saw the Brendan Sullivan thing, and I'm like, okay, here we go. Here's going to be.
How about the rumor that somebody was floating about the. That I was looking at Clemson's quarterback. What's his name? Kublik.
Kublik, the former five-star from Austin, Texas.
Yes.
Why would he come to Iowa?
I don't know.
Well, who?
I don't know. But just some moron. Yeah,
see, that's the problem, though.
Yeah, of course it is. But that's
some of that stuff
the
is
portal.
Well, no, that's fans dealing. Reacting.
But you're getting writers.
But
doing
that guy's
it
too. He's been a disappointment. He has not been very good. He's not played like a five-star. And my guess is if he left, Clemson fans wouldn't care. I mean,
with Clemson, they probably have somebody every bit as good or
they
better.
Do, but Clemson's been on the decline here the last couple of years, and quarterback play has been a big reason. I mean, the guy that's all with the hard name who transferred to Oregon State, and now I believe he's at Florida State, DJ, whatever. He didn't live up to all the five-star hype. But the guy, Kublik, who beat out DJ, or cause DJ to leave, he's been a big disappointment. So my guess is if he leaves, has he announced he's leaving? I can't keep track of the stuff. Has he announced that he's leaving Clemson?
You know, I'm not positive.
Because I remember some of the narratives with him last year. The fans were like, they're ready for him to go.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Nobody, very few quarterbacks are coming in the portal happy. The Sullivan guy, I don't know. I'm wondering if Northwestern, maybe they've moved on for who knows. I mean,
maybe
to
they
me,
had
he
somebody
doesn't,
beat him out.
I read his stats and whatever. Yeah, I watched him play. He's got some mobility. He's not a great thrower. I mean, no. I just don't. I mean, no, I don't see how that would be from Deacon, yes, I guess, but who knows.
Well, 49% completion to 68%. That's pretty big.
It is.
I know they're little teeny passes.
When I watch Brendan Sullivan play, a lot of the throws he made were just little dink and dunk type.
Exactly.
Things.
Well, that's Northwestern.
That's their, and they have different personnel, and I don't think the dinking and. But is Brendan Sullivan willing to? Why would he leave Northwestern where he has a chance to start and go to Iowa where he's going to sit behind Cade McNamara?
Or maybe somebody beat him out.
This was just sent in that Lucy Olson has just signed.
Oh, her letter of intent?
Signed with the University of Iowa.
See, now they can actually comment and what have you.
Lisa Bluter, we're looking forward to welcoming Lucy into our program this summer. She's a tremendous student athlete with an excellent resume. Her skill set and personality was exactly what we were trying to get out of the transfer portal. It's an exciting time to be in Iowa.
No, I thought her personality, I think from what, granted, 20-minute interview, but still, she'll fit in nicely here.
She just sounded down to earth.
Happy, goofy,
yes.
Genuine.
I liked her.
Yeah, it was a fun interview. But yeah, as far as Deacon, I just don't, some fans just, he made fans mad. I mean, fans would just get... I mean, yeah, he wasn't very good. He was not ready.
He did the best that he could do.
He was clearly over his head. He wasn't ready to compete at the Power 5 level as a starter. But in fairness, he beat out Joe Labus.
Yeah.
If you want to blame anyone, I guess blame the coaches for not recruiting better quarterbacks. Problem. They weren't playing Deacon Hill because of some conspiracy. They thought he gave them the best chance to win, which means the other guys weren't doing very well.
That's precisely.
And I'll tell you what, the guy showed up after every game, after they lost, if he played terribly, he showed up, and he never tried to make excuses, never pointed the finger. He was always first class, and there's something to be said for that. You know, they don't make assistant coaches show up after games.
And he did help us get to 10 wins.
And they did win 10 games with him in the West Division, and he did have something to do with it. I mean, somebody had to hand the ball to the running backs, and he did complete passes to tight ends.
Yeah.
He did do a few things, so I just what I wrote was basically just move on with this.
But
snark.
Be happy, you know. Wish him luck.
I wish him well. I hope it'd be nice if he could go somewhere out in his home state of California, like maybe a smaller school, and find success out there. I don't think he's a Power 5 quarterback.
Like Cal Davis,
something like that. Yeah, Cal Pomona, Cal Poly. Yeah. There's plenty of places out there. And I just wish him well because he treated us with nothing but respect, and he had to do some tough interviews. But he always did them. He never ran from them.
Hello.
Hey, greetings from the Rocky Mountains. How are you guys doing this morning?
Hey,
how are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good. Hey, you know, the one thing that I've seen on Twitter that really bugs me is the hypocrites who sat there and just downgraded him the entire season, and now they're all like, oh, we were glad to have you. Best of luck in the future. I'm like, come on, man. I've read your post back during the football season when you were degrading this man like no other, and now you want to come out and wish him the best and, you know, good words for him.
Well, there were some that didn't even do that. There were some that just stayed negative and just said, get good riddance, you suck. I mean, there was a lot of that. But I get what you're saying, the double standard there. But, no, there were a lot of fans who just – I was disappointed with how many just used it as an opportunity to kick him while he was down.
Yeah.
I mean
– right, which is wrong. And, you know, you either back the program or you don't. It's not a professional program. These guys, you know, they're not pros. They're going to – they're kids. And you like – like Mr. Suter said, he gave us 10 wins last year.
Well,
you know, there's been a lot of quarterbacks that we considered better than him that didn't give us 10 wins.
Well,
we'll never know. Circumstances. He did have a lot of help from the defense and the punter and special teams. But, no, you're right. I just think he deserves a little bit of respect.
Absolutely.
And I just want to wish him the best. I hope wherever he goes, I hope he kicks butt and kicks names. But,
yep.
Hey, one more thing on Cooper. Oh, two more things. You were right on the 12 teams getting into the women's softball tournament. There will be 12 teams.
All right.
And then Cooper, we're hoping as Packer fans that he's there at 25. I know he's really up high on our draft board.
Oh, I think if he's available there, I think if he's available for Green, they'll take him at 25. I just don't know if he'll be available.
I don't think he will be. I think
You're cutting out. We can't hear you.
Yeah, you really are in the mountains, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. I'm in the mountains. Sorry, guys.
It's all right.
We appreciate the call.
Yeah, take care. Go Hawks.
Go Hawks.
But, yeah, if Cooper, I'll be surprised if he lasts that long. And if he goes to Green Bay, I'd love the Bears to get him. But, no, the Bears, they've got, what, Keenan Allen? And they've already got, what's his name, DJ Moore, two great receivers. And there's talk that they're trying to maneuver a way to get Marvin Harrison. Man, if they were to get him, that would be an amazing receiving core for the Bears, who have been so bad on offense recently. And it'll be interesting to see.
Well, they have been.
And how about the Cubs? The Cubs are 13-7, I think. They're playing good baseball. I'll give them their due. I'm going to sound like Hunter, man. The Cubs are playing well.
What about the Sox?
I don't pay attention to them.
Oh, the Sox are terrible.
What are they doing?
Unless they've gotten on a surge in the last 4 or 5 days, they are horrible.
Yeah, I don't pay attention to the White Sox.
I'm just saying that to
Lang.
Lang.
He's not even here, is he?
He's coming in.
Oh, you think he's got it on?
He could be on his way. It's a little early for him to be on his way, I think.
You think he's listening at home?
Maybe.
Well, you want to hurt him?
Yes, Pat, I want to hurt him.
You want him to come in here depressed? And
Pat, I tell you, we're going to have some severe weather this week.
You texted me every day for the last week. I mean, he's like, you're like in celebration. You want bad weather to come here and disrupt lives.
No.
Wow.
What?
The White Sox are 3-20.
Oh, really? They're that bad?
Wow.
I didn't realize they were that bad.
Yeah, they're pretty bad.
Wow. How did that happen?
That's almost impossible.
Yeah, even the Cubs aren't that bad ever. When they're bad, the Cubs aren't that bad.
Evidently, is it impossible?
I mean, the Rays are in fifth place in their division at 12-13. The White Sox are in fifth place at 3-20.
Wow. Man, I don't follow baseball closely. Look, are the Cubs 13-7? I thought that's what I saw.
Let's see.
I think they won last night again. And they played some tough teams out of the gate.
The Cubs are 14-9.
14-9, okay.
I was close. They are a half game behind the Brewers.
Okay.
And a full game ahead of the Reds.
Hey, 14.
So, no, they're doing well.
14-9, I'll take that. That's playing good baseball.
The Marlins, let's see.
What are the Phillies? Fran's a Phillies fan. Let's see if...
They're doing well. 15-9, second place.
Okay.
And 2.5 games ahead of the dog-ass Mets.
Oh, the Mets are playing well. That's right. I saw the last 12
time. 12-11.
Okay, they were 12-10 the last time I saw their record. So the Cubs are 1-2. I swear I thought I saw that they were 13-7, which means they've lost 2 out of 3.
Yeah,
but I may have been wrong. I mean, when I look at my Twitter feed, all of, like I said, most of it now is just breaking. Someone's entered the portal.
Yeah, but the Cubs are at 60%. That's solid.
I could live with that.
You bet.
But the portal news is just nonstop.
It really is.
It makes my Twitter timeline just, it gets a little too much. I mean, I know some people are fascinated by the portal. I'm to the point now where if it doesn't involve Iowa or Drake basketball,
yeah,
I couldn't care less.
Well, I'm interested in the women's basketball. I'm pretty interested in.
Well, right, I said, now, if it doesn't involve Iowa.
Yeah. Like Maryland's got four women in from the portal. All of them average over 10 points in their previous
place. She's got a challenge on her hands. They're slipping. Whereas Iowa is rising, Maryland's sinking.
Yeah.
And they've been that way for the last couple of years. They set the bar so high there that some of the glow's rubbed off. She's lost a lot of players in the portal.
She has.
So she's in a scramble.
I think
she
lost four, but replaced them with four people with better stats.
But see, that's hard to do, though, that chemistry and what have you.
Well, we saw with LSU.
LSU, and I mean, I think part of why Iowa was so successful, it was the same crew over and over.
Yeah, exactly.
Learning how to play better and better together, and I think you saw the result of that.
And that's what
Fran wants.
And that's one of the things that made that team so much fun to watch.
I mean, yeah, if you look at Iowa men next year, they got Drew Thelwell coming in, but other than that, barring some other two, we'll ask Fran, too, if they're done, but the roster's going to be. They're going to add Thelwell, Cooper Koch, and Chris Todgill. They'll add those three, and each one brings a different skill set. And I think all three of those guys will play next year.
And we lose Tony, Patrick
and Cricky.
Cricky.
So three coming in, and you'll have Owen Freeman. But between Owen Freeman, Chris Todgill, Laji Dembele, what's that? That's 6'10", 6'9", 6'8", big athletic guys. And then, of course, Evan Bronze. He'll give them another banger. Then what else do we have forward-wise? Well, who am I missing? Well, I got Peyton Sanford's a 6'7 forward. Yeah. But, no, I mean, Fran's team's going to be typical. It's going to be mostly filled with guys that have been in the program from the beginning. That's what he wants.
Yes.
That's what Kirk wants.
And that's to
But
me,
it's getting harder and harder to do that.
It is.
That's what I want to talk to him about today. I can't wait to get his reaction when you tell him. What's Hepburn got $700,000 from?
Well, that's what some of these figures are.
So is this legitimate or is this? Just,
oh, I think so.
These aren't just Joe Blow on Twitter.
No, it's better than that. But some of the journalists aren't right either.
Well, I know they're not. That's what I'm saying. But at least the journalist at least has his reputation.
It's better than Fat Ass Hawk.
Yeah, some guy tweeting behind an alias and
Fat Ass Hawk's a beloved character.
Well, you know what we mean though. Just the typical Twitter. Someone posting behind an alias and just out there to own the opposition and just to make a mark. Those type of people. They're all over the place.
The worst comment I saw is when they released Caitlin's, what she's getting from Nike, and some guy goes, she'll just blow it on clothes. honest to God.
I still get a laugh at the people she's really would be wise to stay another year because she's going to take such a big financial hit. People are so stupid sometimes. Yeah. We kept telling them over and over, no, she won't. Oh, yeah, she will. It's not going to follow her. I mean, I don't know what people think sometimes.
I mean, we imagine she's going to excel, okay? We imagine that, but until she doesn't.
Yeah, she's going to be good. We just don't know how good she's going
to
be. Will she be a legend in the WNBA? We don't know that. She may not be. She may just be really good.
Yeah.
We don't know. We'll see.
Well, and that's all you can really.
But she's already got that $28 million. So, she's got money for her grandkids.
Yeah. For her great-grandkids.
Great-grandkids. And she's going to continue to make more money. I just am curious to see what she does, though, to WNBA television contracts and salaries, because if you've got millions of people watching, which I think they're going to start having, that's going to increase everything. That's going to change the infrastructure of the WNBA.
Changing their the TV stations, changing their rate cards.
Well, and I know three or four of the WNBA teams have sold out their season ticket allotments.
Yeah.
And that generally
all roads lead back to her.
Yeah.
There's just a whole new excitement level for that league. And yesterday I tweeted out, they showed a video of her shooting baskets. She was getting ready for her first practice with the Fever, and they showed her warming up. It was just weird seeing her in different practice attire.
So did you hear any reports about how she did?
No. No, but I didn't look either.
Yeah, there's a video out there of her just shooting.
Yeah, that's what I was telling you about. Yeah, she was, and somebody was rebounding for her. Yeah. That was in preparation for her for practice. I didn't see it. I didn't look for how she did in practice. I assume she did okay.
I don't know.
I don't need to get practice reports.
I did see one report from a totally unreliable person said I heard that she absolutely, completely struggled in her first practice.
Yeah,
were you there?
That's just somebody looking for attention. Yeah, that's all it is.
Yeah, that's like the
that
guy
platform
was,
is was filled with
it for Uncle.
Platform filled. That guy may have just been joking. But
well, I'm sure
there's
he was.
So
funny.
Many attention seekers.
It's just funny.
It's just filled. Yeah, that's one at least.
That one day in wearing Prada and Caitlin suddenly a clothes horse.
Hello.
Hi. No, I've seen a little snippet on Clark the other day. I think it was from when she landed in Indiana. But anyway, 233 of 300. So 100 three-pointers, 100 free throws. And what was the other one? 100, I think it was mid-range, so yeah. Like 18. 233 out of 300.
She made?
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't
she
that good?
Happy necessarily. She, well, I think so. She hit 89 free throws, but she hit.
So that's 89%.
62, I think, 62 3-pointers.
That's 62%.
And then so what's the mid-rangers, so what's those add up to? I'm just trying to figure out what she went for mid-range. But anyways,
151 is what you had right there.
Okay, so then mid-range, she was only, that adds, that's high. She's got high mid-range percentage then.
Was somebody guarding her or just open gym?
No, this was just straight up guy rebounding, tossing the ball.
Okay. Yeah.
But anyway, better than I could do.
Well, I would hope.
Yeah,
I would hope you shouldn't be listening to this if you can shoot like that.
And in all seriousness, you wouldn't look good in Prada either.
No, not at all.
And then I also seen. I thought of you guys, all of you guys. There's a guy. He got three attempts. Now think of this: three attempts from half court. He made the shot, $25,000.
Wow.
He made it on his second one, $25,000. Three attempts, and you go back to the one attempt. For a one-topping medium.
Yeah. Did what?
You get three attempts.
Thanks.
Right?
That's cool.
Yeah, no, maybe two of the worst promotions were that and the red and white pom-poms.
Yeah.
That sure wasn't good, was it?
No.
I'll never forget that.
No.
So should we take a break before Fran?
Yeah.
He's calling in.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Okay. We'll be back.
1-800-800-ROSE.
1-800-800-ROSE, your FTD florist, is the only number you need to know to send flowers anywhere in the country or Canada from anywhere in the country.
1-800-800-ROSE.
It's so easy, just remember one number. 1-800-800-ROSE, your FTD florist.
1-800-800-ROSE.
Remember.
For a gift that your loved one will treasure for a lifetime, find it at our family-owned jewelry store in Iowa City, Pertin and Stocker Jewelers.
We can show you diamond engagement rings, colored stones, fashion jewelry, and watches.
Our jewelers are on site, so we can design jewelry for that special person in your life.
We are Pertin and Stocker, serving Iowa City and the surrounding area for three generations.
Pertin and Stocker Jewelers, downtown Iowa City, and PertinandStockerJewelers.com. Ask for Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of us is always there.
Don't wait for an emergency to get a backup for your car keys. Unlike the olden days, car keys have gotten extremely complex. Mike's eKeys for Cars can generate the most technically advanced automotive keys that are on the market today. For spares and lost keys, Mike's eKeys for Cars can produce most conventional transponder, high security, and remote head keys. Mike's eKeys for Cars will keep you on the road. Call 319-330-9185 and schedule an appointment today. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 319-330-9185 today.
Tavern Blue on the Coralville Strip offers the ultimate sizzle of wood-fired pizza perfection. Elevate your pizza game with over 20 wood-fired pizzas, ranging from the Tony Pepperoni, the Philly Cheese Steak Pizza, Mary Margarita, and the Tavern Supreme. From the freshest ingredients, Tavern Blue cooks their pizzas to mouth-watering perfection in their wood-fired oven, which helps bring out those old-world flavors. fresh creative salads, tacos, burgers, signature cocktails, beer, and wine are just a taste of what Tavern Blue has to offer. Tavern Blue is a family-friendly establishment that offers mini golf, table games, darts, and foosball. Go to tavernblue.com for the latest news, events, and specials, along with full menu options. Once again, that's tavernblue.com.
Dear U of I, just a note to let you know, if you're ever thinking about selling Kinnick Stadium or Carver Hawkeye Arena, please consider Hawkeye Title and Settlement. We're here to provide efficient, high-quality real estate title and closing services. Signed, Hawkeye Fan Forever, and send. Hi, this is Steve Anderson with Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Whether it's a large commercial property or if you're buying your first home, remember, we're here to help. Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services of Iowa City. You'll love our team just like you love the Hawks.
Don't let just anyone take care of your smile. At Diamond Dental, you can expect compassion, expertise, and a personalized care plan to protect your teeth for life. With more than 30 years of combined experience, Dr. Forbes and his staff are prepared to tackle even your toughest dental problems, leaving your smile healthy and sparkling. Diamond Dental offers a full range of general and cosmetic dentistry, as well as dental treatment options for snoring and sleep apnea. It's never too early to start thinking about what's best for your smile. Schedule an appointment today by calling 319-390-3703 or visiting the office at 5815 Consul Street Northeast, Suite D1 in Cedar Rapids. You can also visit DiamondDentalPC.com for more information. Dr. Forbes is a proud sponsor of the Hawkeye Wrestling Club and the Inner Circle. Let the Diamond Dental team provide superior care for your entire family. Are you tired of living in a home that doesn't quite meet your needs? Then it's time to call the experts at Streets Maintenance. Their team of skilled professionals specializes in renovations and remodeling, transforming your home into the space you've always dreamed of. From kitchen bath remodels to complete home renovations, no job is too big or too small. Streets Maintenance will work with you every step of the way to ensure your vision becomes a reality. So don't wait any longer. Call Streets Maintenance to schedule your consultation at 400-4483. Let's start building your dream home today.
Car won't go into gear? Call Premier. Premier Automotive in North Liberty offers full-service mechanical auto repair, in addition to being Eastern Iowa's most trusted name in auto body repair. Use Premier for all your auto repair needs, brakes, oil changes, air conditioning, diagnostics, transmissions, or preventative maintenance. Whether you hit a deer or your car won't go into gear, see Premier Automotive in North Liberty. When you go to a family restaurant, you want three things. One, a wide selection of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items. Two, you want those selections to be affordable and delicious. And three, you want to be treated like family. You get all three at the Midtown Family Restaurant. Breakfast items available anytime the doors are open. Legendary tenderloins, onion rings, and hot roast beef sandwiches. And special ribeye and shrimp nights. Daily specials at each location. And no matter if you're coming in solo or with a group of 20, you get the same special family treatment. The Midtown Family Restaurants at Court and Scott Streets and at the Walmart Plaza on Highway 1 West. Follow them on Facebook or at MidtownFamily.com. The family's waiting for you.
GT Carr, owner of Supple's Building and Remodeling, has been offering unmatched service and quality for over 25 years. The trained professionals at Supple's Building and Remodeling will install and guarantee the products used in any job, no matter how big or small. They also stand behind their work and offer no-nonsense, exceptional customer service from design to completion and beyond. Whether it's a simple window replacement or a major house addition, you'll have the confidence that Supple's Building and Remodeling is committed to quality. Visit Supple's.net. Or call them today at 319-337-2246.
Hi, I'm Patrick Eads, owner of Deary Ford Iowa City. If you're looking for a great deal on a new truck or SUV, Deary Ford is here for you. With model year closeout pricing and all remaining new 23 F-150s plus 1.9% financing for 66 months plus $2,000. Save thousands on 24 Bronco Sports with 1.9% for 66 months plus $2,000. So when you want a great vehicle and an awesome buying experience, Deary Ford is here for you in Iowa City or online at DearyFord.com.
Hello, this is Bill Leixnering from the Oxyoke Inn, inviting you to a place where You have your choice of four portion sizes. And when you order our famous family style, you can take your leftovers home to a place where you can make reservations online at oxyokin.com or by calling and speaking to a person at the Oxyo. A place where, compared to a hotel, our private banquet rooms are very affordable. But most important, our fresh food is prepared to order and our servers have a passion for serving you. At the Oxyo, we've been practicing since 1940. Serving daily with a brunch buffet on Sundays, Oxyoke Inn, in the heart of Amana, where you'll always leave happy.
The Oxyoke Inn.
From the Hertine and Stocker Studios, in the heart of the Hawkeye Nation, this is the mighty 1630 KCJJ Iowa City.
Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, making memories, making
and we are back with Coach McCaffrey.
All right. Well, good morning, Coach. And the first thing that I want to ask you is, for half your tenure here, you've had one of your guys, one of your boys on the team. How weird is it going to be to not have one of your boys on the team?
Well, I will say this. It was an absolute joy watching them compete with their friends, their buddies. We had great success. Seeing them every day was truly a pleasure, and being able to go through the journey with them. I remember when they were really little and they would go on trips with me, and how much fun it was to have them on the trip and how much they enjoyed being with our players. They looked up to them when they were, you know, in elementary school, and then to, you know, be part of some really special teams and play with some incredibly great players. You know, I mean, Connor was part of 111 wins. Patrick was part of 106 wins. Really impressive careers. And now, you know, they won't be here, but they'll be rooting, and we'll be in touch constantly, and just excited for them to continue on their journey.
Hey, Fran, good morning. That's Pat. Appreciate you coming on. Know you're busy. When Patrick decided to enter the portal, did you have a feeling he might end up at Butler? Because I sure did, and that was without talking to you. It just seemed like a perfect fit for him on and off the court.
Well, I would say this. You know, Thad's a good friend. Mm-hmm. We've known each other for a long time. I have tremendous respect for him. They're, you know, they're recruiting Jack, as you know, and so we've been down there. But I also know Maurice Joseph on staff. John Diebler, you know, Greg Oden, Alex Barlow. I mean, they have a great staff, guys that I know and I have tremendous respect. I mean, I've known Barry Collier for years. He just retired this year, but just did an unbelievable job as the coach there and as the athletic director. To be honest with you, Pat, you don't know when someone decides to go into the portal. You know, you might think, okay, this team's going to recruit and that team's it's a good fit, whatever. You don't know what they have. They might be filled positionally, just, you know, hey, we really need a point guard. You know, we really need a five man. And so I was thrilled when they reached out, and so was he. And, you know, from the beginning, he really liked them. He talked to a number of schools. It was interesting, Pat, to kind of go through it on the other side, you know, to kind of see what people are doing and how people are structuring their roster and how they're putting it together. I mean, it's unique compared to what it was for so many years. You know, I heard a story the other day. I mean, who knows if it's true or not, but there's a mid-major coach who I know, and I was told that he doesn't even recruit high school kids anymore. They just go right out of the portal. And I don't operate that way. I mean, we had four freshmen last year, and they provided 22% of our offense. We've got two really good freshmen coming in this year that we think are ready to play. And we'll try to continue to do it as close to how we've always done it. But obviously you have to adjust, you know, in the new world.
Now, with Patrick's situation, I've had some fans ask me, well, why doesn't Patrick want to play for his dad anymore? Can you give the... To me, I just say he wanted a change. That's kind of what he told us in the media. He wanted something different for his last year. Can you kind of explain it, where he's coming from, the talks you guys had?
Well, it was real simple, Pat. I mean, he said, look, you know, I've been coming to practice since fourth grade.
Mm-hmm.
I played 4 years at Iowa City West, which basically on our campus.
Yeah.
He played 5 years at Iowa. He graduated a year ago.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy, right?
Yeah, it really is.
So he's like, I want to try something different. I mean, I want to see how other people do it. I want to be part of something else and play for a really good coach. And you know, he went down there and he met the players and really liked them and really liked the staff. They have a great situation. Playing a different league, you know, playing the Big East is a little bit different than the Big Ten. See what that's like. And he's excited about the challenge. And, you know, it's kind of, you know, not unlike what Connor did. He's, you know, a lot of people are like, hey, are you going to, you know, try to create something on your staff? Do you have an opening and things like that, which we didn't. Could have found something for him to do. But he's like, I don't want to do that. I mean, I know what we do. He's been coming to practice since he was in kindergarten.
Sure.
So he's like, I want to. And now he's learning from Rick Carlisle, Hall of Famer, and Jim Boylan and Lloyd Pierce. And he's working with NBA superstars like Halliburton, Miles Turner, and I mean, and working with guys like TJ McConnell, who's as brilliant a basketball player and person as there is. And, you know, learning from Chad Buchanan, who's general manager, I mean, just in the video stuff that they do and how they prepare and how they lift and how they train and how they train in the off season, what drills do they do and how do they teach defense? How do they defend ball screens? You know, what are they teaching in transition? I mean, all this stuff he's learning is going to make him a much better coach.
No, without question. And I would imagine for you and Margaret, knowing that Connor's there for Patrick, that's got to be kind of reassuring. And even you got Caitlin there. There's familiar faces in Indianapolis. Does that make you guys feel even better that it's going to be an easy transition for Patrick because he won't be alone?
Oh, no question. You know, Patrick and Connor are very, very close.
Yes. Have
been that way. I mean, really. I mean, I think they might have gotten into one fight in their whole life, which is crazy when you think two boys that are 18 months apart.
Yeah.
They have been each other's rock. And I think that had a lot to do with making Patrick's decision easy, knowing Connor's going to be there. It's kind of ironic that Caitlin's going to end up there. You know, so having all three of them down there will be something great. I mean, we have some dear friends down there that have been looking out for Connor, you know, in the last year. And you know, he had a couple buddies that he's living with now that he knew, and it made that transition easy as well. So it's been win-win, no question.
And now we look at the portal. I mean, I see Patrick's situation, and I see, like, with Drew Thilwell. To me, that's what the portal's about. But Tom, what were you saying about, like, Chucky Hepburn?
Yeah, the rumor, Fran, is that Wisconsin was able to offer Chucky Hepburn a couple $100,000 to stay at Madison, and it wasn't even close to the offers he was getting from elsewhere, you know, $600,000-$700,000.
I mean, how do you,
for Chucky Hepburn?
Fran, how do you compete with that?
Well, I will say this. It's difficult, and I don't know that we all know. I've heard the same rumors that you heard, by the way, and kind of the same numbers.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know if that's true.
No, we don't.
But I think if you look at behavior, you know, you say, okay, why would you leave? You have a great situation. You've been the starting point guard for 3 years. But, I mean, you'd have to ask Chucky that question.
Sure.
But, you know, I think if, in fact, he was offered $500,000 more to go somewhere else, I think most people might strongly consider that.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
I mean, especially if you don't think that Chucky has a chance to play in the NBA, you know, that might be his only chance to grab a bag of money for a game he's been playing all his life.
Well, you know, and I think there's a lot of players in that sort of arena or that position, okay, you're like, okay, I don't know if I have an MBA career, but I can make over the next 4 years a substantial amount of money. And that's, I think, the problem that I have with the transfer portal itself, because there's no way that every player should be a free agent. I've said this on your show a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they shouldn't be declared free agents at every point in time. You know, there's got to be some level of, we're committing to you, you're committing to us. Whether that's a contract or, you know, there's some type of salary cap that comes with a revenue sharing program or something along those lines that makes sense. And it's not just go to the highest bidder this year, next year, the year after, and the year after that. That is not what the transfer portal was supposed to be. It's not what NIL was supposed to be. NIL has a negative feeling out there. There's a lot of people like, I hate NIL. But NIL is a really good thing. I mean, you look at Caitlin Clark, and she should be able to make money from her name, image, and likeness. She changed the game.
Yes.
She's the most popular person in our sport right now, and she should be compensated for that. And everyone agrees to the point where the Supreme Court voted 9-0 in favor of that.
Yep.
So that's happening. NIL is happening. It's the other stuff and the pressure that it puts on administrations, on donors, that makes it complicated. And, you know, all I can tell you is that our folks here are really working. They're really trying. We're doing the best that we can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are we equal with everybody? Probably not. Some have different advantages that allow them to throw the numbers around that you just referenced.
Mm-hmm.
And we're dealing with that. You know, so the critical thing for us is, you know, when the season ended, okay, we have some really good players and some really good people. We have culture, we have chemistry, and we want those people to stay. And we have to talk to them about a variety of reasons why they should. And the guys that stayed were all in and have been really working, you know, in the weight room, on the court. Every day, you know, we do our skill development stuff. Now we'll shut it down next week because it's finals. We usually shut it down the week before finals. So they have a week to study, and then they prepare for finals, and they go home for a little bit. Then we'll bring them back. We'll start grinding again. So I have been very pleased with Beth and, you know, Brad Heinrichs and Matt Henderson and all the people that are really, really working hard. Scott Brickman, we have some people that are really stepping up. And I think the critical thing for us, I mean, think about it, guys. In the beginning, all of a sudden, now we have to come up with all this money to pay the players. Well, how are we going to do that? Where is it going to come from? Well, you have other folks, whether that be in athletic fundraising or the foundation, Learfield, like all those folks are trying to raise money as they always did. And now our own people competing for the same dollars.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And nobody knew how that would work. And I have to tell you, I've been really impressed with how our people have worked together to make this happen. And I think that's the thing that gives me a good feeling in terms of trying to build a program moving forward in a very difficult landscape.
And I know there's not a lot of structure and rules, but isn't it against the I guess the problem I have is it seems like there's so much tampering.
Well, that's
going
the problem.
That there's maybe not directly player to, but you know, outside sources talking to people related to a player that's not. To me, that's the problem, Fran. Do you see that where people, I mean, I don't know. I just think you should leave current rosters alone if somebody wants to enter the portal, but it seems like some athletes are being talked into entering the portal.
I don't even know, Pat, how you define tampering anymore.
I don't either.
And this comes from a guy who spent 6 years on the NCAA Ethics Coalition. So we talked about that kind of stuff with the top brass in the NCAA. And the way that it can go on, quite frankly, is most college players and, quite frankly, the top-ranked high school players already have representation.
Mm-hmm.
So those discussions that you're talking about aren't taking place coach to player on another team. they're all being shopped by agents.
Yes.
So, for example, I remember I'm sitting here watching film, getting ready for Ohio State, and I get a text message. I'm representing the following players. These guys are going to go in the portal.
Wow.
Well, they're not in the portal. They're still playing for the teams that they're on. We're still playing. You know, it's an uncomfortable text message to get, but like, I'm representing these following people. Let me know if you're interested in any of them. Well, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not reaching out to you now. I'm trying to figure out how we're going to beat Ohio State or Michigan State, whoever, I don't remember what it was. We were getting ready to play somebody, and I'm thinking, this is nuts, and it's not right, but that's what's happening. And so, you know, we talk to guys who are in the portal that we're interested in, whether it be what they bring to the table collectively or positionally or whatever, you know, players that we've known from before that we recruited. We know their character. We know their family. And we think they'd be a good fit.
Well, the other thing you've done is you've gotten players that don't seem to – they're not leaving schools unhappy or disgruntled. They're going to a bigger stage. They've done their part for Drew Thowell at Morehead State. He gave a lot to that school. Now he wants a bigger stage. Same with Phillips. Same with Ben.
I guess he didn't like that question, Pat.
No, I don't know what happened.
Oh, that's weird.
He'll call back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There we go.
And there he is. Hello again. Oh, yeah.
The call got dropped.
Sorry about that, friend. But you heard what I was saying about it. You've got a pattern what you've used the portal for, and it's worked for the most part. Every guy you've brought in has fit perfectly, and I assume Phil will too.
Well, we're really excited about Drew. I mean, you know, I think you can look at his numbers and things like that. But the number that sticks out in my head is he was a point guard on a team that won 26 games.
Yep.
That kid's a winner. His other numbers are good, too. But, you know, he's an absolutely delightful young guy to meet. And when he came here, he fell in love with our guys. Our guys were great with him. I think that the good thing, Pat, is – when we've gone into the portal, and Ben Krikke, I mean, could you do any better than Ben Krikke or Evan Bronze or Philip Obracha?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the difficulty is for some programs. So, for example, when I was at the Final Four a couple weeks ago, one of my dear friends is a Power Five coach. It was the most miserable 5 days of his life because instead of going to dinner with friends and you know, doing some professional development stuff or whatever stuff with your shoe company, you know, you're doing Zooms because you have to sign 7 guys.
Wow.
You know, he says, I got to get 7, maybe 8. And I'm thinking, that would drive me crazy. Like, how do you, because now you're taking flyers on guys that you don't know, and then you're trying to put a team together, you know. You made a good point. A lot of these guys, they want a bigger stage.
Yeah.
But that goes two ways. You have some guys that are on a big stage that have a role that don't accept that role. They don't want that role. They want a bigger role. So now they're going to maybe go to a mid-major or a high mid-major place because I want more shots.
Sure.
Or I want to score more or whatever. And I get it. We all get it. But is that necessarily the right thing? You know, is there a lost element of, I'm going to get a bigger role here. I'm going to beat that guy out. I'm going to work hard. And if I don't, I'll be better. He'll be better. We'll be better. But when you have agents in your ear all the time, that affects everything. You know, we have really tried, and I will say I thought we did a great job last year. And when I say we, I'm talking about our players more than anybody else. Of staying locked in and trying to win each week and not, okay, what am I going to be 9 months from now? Am I going to be playing for somebody else? Am I going to be getting more money? Am I going to be getting more shots? And what's that going to mean for me? And again, you know, you go back to the start of this conversation. You can't blame the guy for making an extra $500,000.
No.
I mean, that's reality.
No.
But it does affect all that other stuff and we have really tried hard, and I've been so impressed with our guys at maintaining culture.
And I think culture is very important. And you look at like Desante Bowen, his decision makes sense. He wants a bigger role. I mean, he started for a while, lost his starting position. And I know you speak very highly of him. I always had great interactions with him. But the portal works for a guy like that, too. I saw he visited St. Bonaventure.
And George Washington.
Yeah, and those seem like the kind of schools.
Davidson, I mean, he's going to have some great options. As good a person as I've ever coached in over 40 years. And I mean that sincerely. Great family, competitor. I mean, it's hard for the other guys because he was a dear friend.
You could tell.
But everybody's supporting him and finding a place where he'll have a much better role for himself. I mean, remember, people transferred before.
Yeah.
And that was why, right? They wanted a better opportunity. They weren't playing as much. And he's good enough. He's good enough to be a real key factor for a high-level team.
So Tony's decision, did that take you by surprise at all? Or were you – I mean, we had Brad Heinrichs on last week, and he was not surprised by that at all. Were you, and he made it sound like he didn't think NIL was that big of a deal, but then he also said it could have been. He goes, I don't know, but he said he had spoken to Tony before the season, and Tony kind of gave him the impression that this would be it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, with that, I mean, Tony said that, so, you know, we wish him well. I think in today's world, to say that it's never about money, I think is foolish.
I would agree with that.
There's going to be other reasons that, you know, for whatever, but as far as he's concerned, I mean, you know, we had discussion prior to, you know, as far as his representation and so forth. So it wasn't a surprise at all.
Okay.
It was the answer to your question.
And Fran, before we go, I wanted to ask you about next year's roster. Somebody sent me some video of Chris Tajo. Wow, I did not realize what you guys have in him. I mean, he's raw in some ways, but can you just kind of tell our listeners what to expect? Because I was really impressed. And I've seen Cooper Koch play before, but this Tajo, I had no idea what you guys got in him.
Well, we are, you know, phenomenally excited about both of those guys.
Sure.
I mean, Coop's been coming to our camp since he was in fourth grade, maybe second grade, with his dad. One of the best, if not the best, shooter that you would see on the circuit last summer. Had a phenomenal high school career, phenomenal AAU career, proven winner, character guy, and has great size.
Mm-hmm.
He was a legitimate 6'8", maybe 6'9". Chris has one of the most incredible motors I've ever seen. And that's a heck of a statement because I've seen some competitors over the years and, you know, guys I coached and guys I tried to coach. He's 6'8", he's 235. So it's not like he's a young kid who's 6'8", you know, 195. Mm-hmm. We got to put some weight on him. Eventually he's going to be good. Like, he's physically comes ready. And the NBA Academy is a unique way to kind of grow in the basketball world. I mean, he came over from Africa, ended up in Montreal, becomes part of the NBA Academy, and now gets exposed to phenomenal coaching, like former NBA players. He's playing in Mexico City. He's playing a high level of competition. They travel around the world and play and train. And that's the thing. So, like, you made a point, well, he might be a little bit raw. And for many years, a lot of the kids that came over from Africa, they were raw because they were just young colts. They were athletes. They were competitors. They were great kids with character, but they had never been coached.
Mm-hmm.
So now, as part of the NBA Academy, they are getting top level coaching and training before they get here. So they're on another level now, and you're seeing that across the board. There's so many. You know, so many kids like that from the NBA Academy that you know, I think you guys would probably remember when Hakeem Olajuwon first came over.
I remember it well. Yeah.
And how raw he was. And he was a quick learner.
Yes, he was. At Iowa's expense.
Yes.
But you know, you're seeing the impact of those kids on an incredibly high level now. And I think Chris is one of those guys. He's a student of the game. He can dribble, pass, and shoot. He can run and jump. He can make a play for himself. He can make a play for somebody else. And we were just fortunate. You know, Courtney saw him at the NCAA Academy in Memphis when they brought the top AAU teams from the three different shoe companies. And they had a group of guys from Canada. Then they had a group from the NCAA Academy. They were all in one location. So we had our whole staff down there watching all of it. And Courtney says, hey, look at this guy. And really was kind of under the radar. And now he's, I think, the seventh-rated power forward in the country.
That's so what I saw, yeah.
We're thrilled with him and can't wait to get him here.
Coach, do you think you're done with your roster now or do you need another big or do you think you're good?
We are still looking in the portal perhaps for maybe one front court guy. You know, we lost Patrick. We lost Ben, obviously. So we're still, you know, looking at maybe another big. And we feel like if we don't get one, we're okay. If we get one, then, you know, it gives us the depth we need. And it would be someone that provided, I think, what we're losing, which, you know, we're losing, you know, points and rebounds and veteran play. But again, I feel very comfortable with the roster we got right now.
So with Chris, is he, maybe I'm saying it because they're both originally from Africa, is he similar at all to Lodgy playing? I mean, figure-wise, built-wise, they're very similar, but are their playing styles similar or are they different?
They're slightly different.
Okay.
Yeah, they're slightly different. The thing that I like about them is they could play together.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
Yeah, you know, like Chris probably a little more of a 3-4, 4-3, Lodgy a little more 4-5, 5-4, but they both can step out and make a three. They both can put on the floor a little bit. I mean, you know, Chris may be a little bit better than Lodge, but Lodge's getting really good at that. Again, another guy that came over, his journey was different. He went from Mali to Barcelona and played 3 years there, so kind of learned the European style, and then ended up in New Jersey and is playing the American style. So he's been exposed to a lot, and I think that's why you saw that he was able to contribute the way he did last year.
Yeah, I was amazed at his confidence. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Lodgy acts like every shot he takes is going
to
go.
He loves to shoot. Yeah.
I mean, but I think that's good, though. You don't have to make – he's confident.
He's not a guy who panics.
No.
He doesn't rattle out there. He kind of – he plays at his pace. He competes. He's as strong as anybody I've ever coached. I mean, especially in his lower half. I mean, he can.
Yeah.
If he sits down on you, you can't move him. And we're thrilled to have him. Great person too.
Fran, before we wrap it up, cancer wise, what you got? Any events coming up that you want to promote? Kind of where things are with that? Because we know that's always something that's important to you.
Well, we have the event coming up in Des Moines, and I apologize. I should have the date on the top of my head, and I don't. But that's coming up with the four Division I coaches. That's something that has really grown.
Yeah,
I'll be heading out to Vegas for the Lon Kruger golf outing, and I got a group of guys going with me down to Oak Hill in Rochester for the other Coaches versus Cancer golf outing. So I'll be pretty busy with that this summer. We just had our Coaches versus Cancer Council meeting at the Final Four. To look at that room and how it's grown and have Dr. Knutson speak. She runs the American Cancer Society, so she addressed the group. We have corporate sponsorship now, Coco 5 doing a number of things. Phil Martelli is now going to try to start. We had a meeting on this the other day. He's trying to start a players versus cancer group because we have officials versus cancer. We have high school coaches. We have coaches. We have football coaches, basketball coaches. We have CEOs versus cancer, so we're just trying to grow the program and sort of encourage the players to also get involved. As you know, when they take money from the collective, they are required to do philanthropic events.
Yeah.
But also to see if you can, you know, get them to use their name, image, and likeness to make money, but also to create awareness and help raise money for coaches versus cancer or now players versus cancer. So there's a lot of stuff going on. We always appreciate you guys being at the forefront of promoting that.
Well, it's amazing work what you and Margaret have done. I know when Margaret got that award, you could just see how much it meant to her on the court that night. I'll never forget that.
Awesome.
I mean, you could.
It was an emotional night.
It really was. Well, Fran, listen, we know you're busy. We always appreciate you coming on this time of year, and wish you a good spring, good summer. We'll be in touch. And again, thanks, Tom.
No, absolutely. And looking forward to seeing the new team you put out there this fall. Really excited about it.
Yeah, I got a good feeling about it.
I do too.
And
me too, guys. Always appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right.
If Margaret ever wants a job, she can have one here.
Doing what?
This position?
We had Margaret on. She was great. No, she was really good. She's got a dry sense of humor.
Yeah.
I mean, she made fun of all of them.
Yeah.
And herself and us.
Yeah. And should.
And deserve fun of us. But no, that was a good interview.
We could talk to Fran for hours.
I know, we just had him on for 35 minutes, though.
And hours.
Yeah, I mean, that 35 minutes went like that.
I mean, we didn't touch on
34 and a half,
okay,
with that,
but we did get the main things. Patrick, Tony, I mean, Fran does not sound like a coach who's thinking anytime soon of stepping down.
No, not at all.
But 3 years from now, that could change. And I do like their, I mean, this Chris Todrow, have you seen him?
Yeah.
Video?
Oh, yeah.
I like him. Owen Freeman, Lodgy Dembele, Chris Todrow, Peyton Sanford. Okay, you got 6'10", 6'8", 6'8", 6'7". Those are four good frontline players. I meant to ask him about Peyton in the NBA. I know that's. I know
and
he's going
to
come back.
Ask him about Carver, and feasibility study.
I know
and all
we've
that
had.
Stuff.
I've talked to him about that so many times, and the problem with that, there was not much has changed. You know what I mean?
Well, yes.
But it was good. I mean, you always think of things that you would like to ask, but we could have easily had him on for longer. But 30 minutes is enough. He's probably like, oh, God, glad that's
those
over
guys, why don't they shut up?
Why am I on this station?
I appreciate him coming on. Iowa does a great job of helping us to arrange this. He's been great to us.
He's been a good friend of the station.
And the work they do with cancer awareness, it deserves being mentioned every time he's on. It's incredible what they do.
Yeah.
And you heard him say it does matter that Connor and Caitlin are out there for Patrick. That's important.
And I thought it would.
And I thought it would. And he's saying that as a parent. I mean, Patrick's got a strong support crew out there because I believe, if I remember, I saw an interview with Caitlin. She was friends with Patrick first and then kind of met Connor through Patrick. So they're all very close.
Big deal on the Today Show, I guess, yesterday, where they're showing pictures of her and Connor.
It's on my Twitter feed, a picture of them hugging at the press conference.
Yeah.
I don't need to see that. I'm happy for them, but, that's their business. I did. I refreshed my Twitter thing, and there's somebody must have been standing right next to him because it was all of a sudden on Twitter, and you could tell she's just emotionally, she's probably spent after doing all the prep, and she's got her head on Connor's shoulder, and they're hugging, and that's great, but I don't need to see
the picture with Suter
at the park with her,
with your Harris Pizza and Minnie Ripperton.
Hey, what park can we go to today?
I don't know.
Are you guys going out for lunch today?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Let me
we're thinking of driving to Dubuque.
Okay, there's a lot of parks up in Dubuque. Yeah. You'd be up there kind of on the bluffs, too, and look down
the
on things.
The Julian Dubuque thing would be cool, the statue.
You look down on things.
Yeah. I look down on things now.
But that's good. You guys should take Hunter with you. Why don't you take Hunter to lunch with you? Why is it just you two? Hunter's probably over there saying, shut up, I don't want to go. No, I don't need to be invited. I'm fine just...
I'm going to have dinner with Hunter tonight.
Where are you going?
Table to table banquet.
All right.
Ann and I and Hunter.
What will they have at that?
Lane's
I don't
be
know.
There.
What's that?
I think I got an invitation. I think I got an invitation.
Oh, Tommy's there too? Yeah. Great.
I think I got an invitation to that in the mail a while ago.
Well, you should go.
Well, I...
get out your checkbook, and I'm sure they will let you in.
How much would... What's it cost to get in?
I don't know, what was it, $65 or something?
I gave $200 to table this year. That ain't bad.
Yeah. No, it's good.
$65.
I gave $200 to table to table. $100 for myself, $100 from Hawk
Fanatic. Here's how you don't want to socialize. If you go, I'll pay for it.
You wouldn't pay for it.
I will pay for it.
I've got stuff I got to do tomorrow. Well, I do. I got two or three stings I got to ride.
Steve felt very comfortable in making that offer.
I got to get some NFL draft stuff done. Yeah, but no, it's a great cause, but that's why, we get Hawk Fanatic gave $100 to table to table this year.
And you will be asked again this year by Mr. Suter.
I'm sure we will be. But no, it's a good cause.
It is.
It goes for a good cause.
Very good cause.
Yeah, and there's a lot of good causes out there.
That's for sure. And table to table helps almost all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Social service people.
And hey, the price of 50. The price of groceries, man, hell, maybe not be long before I'll be eating off table to table. Well, the other day I got $42 worth of groceries and got home and realized
I didn't have anything.
Didn't have anything.
Uh-uh.
Yesterday I got two packages of fresh pet dog food, and let's see, two packages of fresh pet, and then three tubes of fresh pet, because we mix them in,
mm-hmm.
and then I got something.
Where are you going with this?
Then I got gefilte fish.
$100?
Gefilte fish. It was like $45.
Yeah.
$46.
Well, I got Greek seasoning, because I needed it for this chicken I was going to make. Didn't even bother to... It was $6.99.
Yeah,
it was spices. $7 for a thing of spices.
The spices are expensive. If you get the good ones, I mean, you can get the bargain basement ones for
this
a lot of
the
spices.
This is just the only Greek one I could find, and it's a very common one. You see, it was $6.99.
Yeah, and I was checked out by Tommy's mother, Rose.
What's that?
I was checked out by Tommy's mother, Rose, at Hy-Vee.
Okay,
and she works there.
She said. And sometimes her husband is embarrassing.
Oh, when he calls in?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not very nice.
No, it's harsh.
Hey, embarrassing.
It was her.
Rose is harsh.
It was her.
Did you agree with her? Or did you strongly
Oh, no. Protest? Yeah, Rose, you are wrong.
No, we've had two good interviews this week.
Yeah.
Had nothing for Friday. I'll try to think of something, but we may have to go on our own on Friday. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to find anyone in time. Who do you want? Caitlin Clark's not available.
How about Kate Martin? Can you get Kate Martin?
Yeah.
Probably not. Because she's just
probably
trying
not.
To make a team.
I don't have the time to start from scratch on something like that. Yeah, and she's right in the middle of trying to make the team.
Yeah, and I saw where she did sign her contract, but it doesn't mean she's made the team.
No, I mean, I know some people, Monica Cezano did the same thing. So hopefully she makes it. But no, I think right now, I mean, plus with her, she's out in L.A., right? Or at Las Vegas?
Las Vegas.
Yeah, have her on between 7 and 9 in the morning. I mean, I guess we could. But no, we may, it's not like we're going to have a guest every show. I mean, if I can find someone by Friday, thought about having Don on, but I mean, there's not much to talk about with spring ball over a week, and maybe they'll get a who knows. Maybe they'll get a quarterback in the next couple of days. If we have some major developments in football, I could have Don on to comment on that. But no, this was fun though, getting Fran and Lucy on this week.
Sure was.
Enjoyed it. Makes the show go a lot faster. Yeah, that half an hour with Fran just went like that.
It really did.
I mean, it just goes so fast.
And we covered a lot of things and could have done a lot more.
And I do agree with him in the long run. The way he's going about NIL is the best, because a lot of these teams that are completely overhauling their rosters, they're up and down. They may win 25 games one year, then next year they're down. They don't have a roster. And he's built more for the long run. And everyone's like, well, they didn't make – well, they did still win 19 games and played in the NIT. That's not where you want, but that's not a failure of a season by any means.
No, it's not.
And –
it's not what anybody wanted.
And if there wasn't COVID, they still would have made the NCAA tournament in 5 of the last 6 seasons.
Yes.
That's a pretty good run.
Yes, it is.
Hello.
Yes, hi. Is there any chance of getting
a photo? Try again.
Yeah. You faded out. Can't understand you.
I think he said any chance of getting Ed Podolak on. I've thought about that. I've got Ed's number. I could reach out and see. I mean, and if he wants to, yeah, I mean, I could reach out to Eddie, and I'm imagine somebody else has probably interviewed him by now, or maybe they haven't, but we'll see. Yeah, I've got his contact information, and I might even go through Iowa.
That's a good idea,
yeah,
actually.
We could, I mean, I'll see if Ed would want to come on Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Can't make any promises, though.
Make a promise.
Got to go home and mow my yard again. My grass is just out of control. Just won't stop growing.
Do we imagine that people like Owen Freeman and Josh Dix have been contacted by?
Oh, I'm sure they
by
have.
By agents.
Yeah, I know they have. But it looks like it's all systems go for Iowa. Owen Freeman could demand a huge package in the portal, but there is something to be said for loyalty, and they are getting – it's not like they're not getting anything here.
Right.
They're getting something. And Brad and those guys are working harder and harder to get them even more because they know – I mean, there's always that threat. I mean, there was a lot of rumors about Dixon Creighton.
Yes, yeah.
But I think that would have happened by now. And Fran sounds like, other than trying to maybe add a big man, he believes his roster's set, which gives me the impression that Fran has met with all these guys and, hey, coach, I'm here. Don't worry. Mm-hmm. I mean, Owen Freeman, somebody tweeted that they had heard that he was considering entering the portal and that Kansas, and he got on there right away and said, there is no truth to this.
Uh-huh.
I mean, so you just got to take them at their word. I've learned never say never, and I do, and I agree with Fran. I do think money was a big part of Tony.
I do, too.
Perkins'
situation. And I don't blame him.
And I don't blame him. But Brad did say what he said. Brad, he did not have any NIL discussions with Tony postseason, did he? That's what he told us.
Right.
So I think NIL was a factor, but I also think Tony just wanted a change, too. But he was not going to go somewhere and make less money. And I think Missouri, I heard that he got 200, was it, I've heard 100 and 200. Missouri.
I thought 200, but I've heard both of those figures. Know for sure.
But if he got 200, that's more than he would have gotten here.
Uh-huh.
And that is like good start to your.
That's a chunk.
That's a chunk. I mean, like I said, most people in this country don't have that in their retirement.
Of course, then, you know, your agent gets what, 15 to 20% of that?
If he has an agent. I mean, I assume he does.
No, that's true.
I mean, maybe he did it on his own, but I read some stat, like I said, that like 89% of the people in this country don't even have a retirement thing. Yeah. That's incredible when you think about that.
Well, you're sitting here buying.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, that's, but yeah, no, it just shows you though. And like what Fran said, NIL is good. If it, like, Caitlin should have had the right to earn all the money that she did.
You bet.
But there still has to be a way to monitor and put some guidelines and infrastructure in. There has to be.
To eliminate the pay for play.
The tampering.
The tampering.
And third and fourth parties, tampering with second and third parties related to a player. Some of these players may not even know some of these contacts going on. Then they get one of their uncles and say, hey, I just talked to so-and-so. That's what's got to end.
And there's also been instances where they were promised X amount of dollars in NIL and they didn't get it.
Yes.
You know, I mean, so there's all sorts of...
I'll call it improprieties. What I like about what Fran's done with the portal... A lot of these guys going from Power Fives to Power Fives are going because they're unhappy. They're not getting their just due. So they're going to another school with sort of a chip on their shoulder, but for the wrong reasons, I think. They feel like they haven't been treated fairly. Whereas Philwell, Cricky, they wanted a bigger stage. They had pretty much shown that they could play at that level. They have one last chance. They want to go on a bigger stage and show that they can compete at a higher level. And to me, that has a whole different mindset when you join the team,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to some frustrated Power Five guy going from one Power Five. Hell, there was an Auburn guard who transferred to Alabama.
I saw that.
Think about that, how crazy that is. But that's the world we live in now. I never thought I would see that.
And what didn't one of the Ohio State guys go to Michigan?
Michigan, yes.
You know, that's...
It's just bizarre.
Them's fighting words.
I feel bad, though, for Ben Johnson up at Minnesota. That Elijah Hawkins tweets out that he's staying.
Sucks.
Now he's in the portal again, and they're really scrambling to keep their roster together.
Yeah.
I feel bad for him because I think he's a good coach. So,
well, he showed it a lot last year. They were tough.
I thought they were. All right, weather-wise, are we good today and tomorrow?
Today and tomorrow.
And then Friday.
We're good.
I know.
Friday? Boy, we got some weather coming,
look
Pat.
Look at that. Just the jolt in your voice, the exuberance. And it could be a lot of stuff. Wind, hail.
Oh, yeah, earthquake.
So, well, just underneath.
So, softball hosting Minnesota, Steve, on Friday at 5. They're going to be able to get the game in.
No.
What if they moved it to 3?
No.
When's the rain start Friday?
Thursday night.
Thursday night, okay. Well, I definitely better mow today or tomorrow. And then for the weekend, though, it's less. It's more scattered.
So what if they had a doubleheader on Saturday?
Probably not.
I just hope baseball doesn't have to play a double. It's easier for softball to play doubleheader.
It is.
Baseball, man, that is so tough.
We got thunderstorms, and if they're going to be severe, they're going to be severe on Friday. Saturday and Sunday, scattered showers and thunderstorms.
Okay. So I'm trying to think. We got anything else? Of course, we mentioned the draft tomorrow. NFL draft, and what else out there?
Caitlin's contract inked
for $28 million over 8 years, and I thought it was funny that Puma was interested too until they found out that the bidding started at $3 million. Then they're like, we're out. Nope, can't do that. And what was it? Under Armour offered her 16.
For 4 years.
Yeah, and then another one offered her six for four. But no, Nike's was by far the best deal. Yeah, and said, hey, more power to her, man. That is the free market working, and she's earned every penny of it.
Well, and I look forward to watching her on TV. Cause,
I do, too.
Boy, those ticket prices are getting serious.
And I do think it's pretty cool that Connor, Caitlin, and Patrick are all going to be out in Indianapolis.
I do, too.
And you know, you could tell when Fran... That's reassuring to Fran and Margaret.
Very much so.
Very much so as parents, knowing that that Connor and Caitlin are going to be out there.
Yep.
Yeah. Because she actually did refer to
and
Connor.
It's good for all three of them.
At her press conference, she referred to Connor. She goes, well, I was with my boyfriend. She called him. I just thought it was kind of funny listening to Caitlin call Connor her boyfriend. But, you know, he is.
Yeah,
and
that's, well,
and I'm happy for him. But, like I said, I don't need to know, like, what they had for dinner. Or I mean, I don't need to know. You know, I don't... There's a limit to how much we need to know about superstars. Don't you agree? Or do you need more, more?
I don't care. The stardom doesn't.
I'd like to know what she's eating. That'd be great. What kind of pizza she likes?
You want to know what Caitlin Clark's eating on
what
a regular basis?
What kind of pizza she likes? You know, sure.
Celebrities never been a lot. It never meant a lot to me.
Me either.
I agree.
Autographs have never meant
a lot. Agree, 100%. I mean,
never been an autograph person?
No. No, Ed Cookie Burns. I got his autograph.
Yeah, never. And that's
but I didn't really ask for it.
That's a product of my father, though. My father always thought autographs were just...
He gave a book to me when we met the first time and signed an autograph.
I think you said that. Yeah. I just have never understood. My dad was that way. He never understood why somebody would want somebody's signature.
Twice in my lifetime, I've had people come up and ask me for my autograph, and it just feels weird.
Why would they do that?
We did a fair amount of that in the band. I mean, not every day or anything, but
I'm on the radio.
People are pathetic.
I'm on the radio, and they love the way that I emote about the
So weather. So you're not the only one fascinated with yourself. Some of your listeners are. Is that what you're saying?
I am one of the greatest weathercasters in all.
All right.
So when we were at our rock and roll...
It's not the knowledge, it's the emotion.
All right.
When we were at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction, we signed a lot of things.
Oh. Yeah, I signed them there.
A lot of posters and books.
Well, we had people come when I was there from here.
You think those people just rushed and sold those things for just tons of money?
You know, that really was weird. We had people come from there to see me and I'm sure they did for you, too.
Yeah,
but it was weird to me.
So then I'm wrong in saying that you're the only one fascinated with yourself.
No.
Others are.
Well, I've been on the air for 61 freaking years.
Okay.
In Eastern
Iowa. Then I stand corrected.
At one station or another for 61 years.
Okay, then I stand corrected. You.
It's time to pass the baton.
No, here it is. You and some of your listeners are fascinated with yourself. Is that probably the way I should explain it?
I think that's fair.
Okay.
Hey, listen. Patrick and Connor asked me to come, didn't
he? They want you to come there and be the house mom?
Yeah.
What was that show? The one?
Mrs. Garrett.
Yeah, you're going to be Mrs. Garrett. Can you imagine that? You, Patrick, Connor, Caitlin, and Captain Steve.
Okay.
That's a good way to...
Anything else?
I think it's time. Thanks again, Coach McCaffrey, for coming on. We really enjoyed it.
All right, then. HawkFanatic.com. Check it out. It's free.